Aviation Quest is C101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC. Stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.cc.
Hello and welcome. This is our weekly podcast called Aviation Quest. My name is Stefan Lawrence. I'm one of your hosts. And today I'm super happy to have you here because we have a very exciting interview lined up, something very inspiring, something very special. So please stay here and listen to the interview. Now, the interview was not conducted by myself. It was conducted by my dear friend Jürgen, who's the other host here on the show, our professional podcaster and probably the only guy here who actually knows what's going on. Jürgen, nice to see you again.
Easy going, Stefan. Yeah, as many listeners hopefully know by now, Stefan is a professional pilot here, and I'm Jürgen Reiss, and I'm a mental coach focusing on aviation. And yeah, I mean, Stefan was again correct. Our podcast name is Aviation Quest CC, but thanks to Stefan, we are also running a YouTube channel, and this is Aviation-Quest Podcast. And there, thanks to Stefan, is not only, so we are an audio cast, but there's not only, quote unquote, our audio, because especially today's audio is very, very, very special. And no, there is even some flight sim, flight sim background going on. Stefan, what is today waiting for the listeners? Maybe a real world flight?
Yes, real world flight today. And this is coincidence because I always pre-record all the flights. The flight today is very fitting for the interview because we are going to the United Kingdom. And we are flying, an A320 by EasyJet from Liverpool to all the way down to Faro in Portugal.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking of Great Britain, today Stefan and I are pleased to welcome Arya Malik from Great Britain to Aviation Quest CC. And I guess, Stefan, you will agree, that's a story from above of its kind, huh? It's amazing.
Yeah, when the way it works is Jürgen records the interview, then he sends me the recording and I listen to it when I'm back from my flights. And I have to say, this was an interview I really enjoyed. Arian sounds very mature. If you listen to him and you would have to guess his age, you would never believe he's as young as he is. He's clearly a very driven person, very focused, and despite his young age, already very deep in the industry. And I think he's doing everything right. And just about to get into the next big step, which is the ATPLs, and aiming for a career in the aviation industry, in the airline industry. So for those of you who are maybe thinking about getting in the industry, or you're also just doing your PPLs and stuff like that, this is a super interesting interview because he found a very nice way to get into the industry because, like he said himself, cost is a big factor. So listen out, some very clever tips here. And as Jürgen said, a very impressive young man.
Yeah, it's amazing. At just 20 years of age, Arian is already combining university studies, flight training, and valuable experience through the Royal Air Force Air Cadets and the Oxford University Air Squadron as he works toward a professional flying career. I think this is really, it's a must have listened more than one time for everybody who is maybe aiming for the professional way. Stefan, would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I think he gives some very good insights what it is like right now to train. how to get your license, best ways to get into the industry. Like I said, he discusses topics like the cost of becoming a pilot and how to be able to circumnavigate that. So I do think it's a very good insight into what it means right now to become, like, if you want to become a commercial pilot, what the best path forward is.
Yeah, we recorded it in May 2026, and we hope you enjoy this authentic conversation with a young aviator whose passion for aviation is impossible to miss as much as we did, Stefan, huh?
Yes. So I would say let's jump into the interview. Jürgen and I will be back after the interview with some more, you know, words of wisdom. Maybe we'll discuss a bit more what we heard in during the interview. And yeah, so we'll hope to hear you then again.
Well, and we are in the main part of this podcast. Welcome to the show, Arjan. Hello.
Thank you very much for having me, Jürgen. Hope you're all well.
Yeah, well, to get us started here, right now, what does life look like for you between university, flying, and everything else that's going on? Quite busy, huh?
Too busy, far too busy. But the balance is nice. You know, it's nice to be surrounded by like-minded people and doing things that I'm really passionate about. So what does a day-to-day look like, to answer the question, is my current university degree is aviation management, where we're learning about the business behind airlines, airport planning, while also my university allows me to do my flight training alongside this. So in order to pass your first year of my degree, I must have my PPL. And then in order to pass a second year of degree, you must have completed your ATPL. So it's a great degree that allows me to combine a bachelor's and my flight training towards getting into the cockpit. Mm-hmm. And then to add on to this already crazy workload, I joined the RAF UAS, University Air Squadron, which is a military organization tied underneath the Royal Air Force that allows university students in any degree across a few select universities to join, receive flight training, experience the military world, while also doing some adventurous training. We do parachuting, lots of hiking, rock climbing, endless opportunities with the RAF.
Sounds amazing. Tell us a little bit more about this Oxford University Air Squadron. I mean, this sounds really quite unique, and maybe also especially for people from England or Great Britain.
Yes, it's an amazing opportunity. So I started my journey through the RAF, as per se, at the age of 12, joining the RAF Cadets, which is a under 18 scheme, which does the same, but it's not as intense. So I've always known that I would go to university and want to join a university air squadron, just because the opportunities are far greater. It's paid work. It's it's just really good for a university student. So to answer your question, what does it actually mean, the Oxford University Air Squadron is? So in the whole of the UK, there is I don't know the exact number, but I'd say around 10 university air squadrons, all in different parts of the country. So there's Oxford, Cambridge, there's East Midlands, Edinburgh. And so each of these squadrons choose three or four universities which they'd like to take students from. So Oxford, for mine, they take from Oxford University, Oxford Brookes, Reading, and Buckinghamshire New University, which is my university. So you go through a pretty standard interview, fitness entrance exams and tests, and then you're in. The Oxford University Air Squadron has our own RAF base, which we are based at, which is quite lucky. Some don't. So we meet once a week there. We talk aviation. We have guest speakers from the RAF who are sometimes ex-fighter jet pilots or ex-logistics officers, or sometimes currently serving officers. So to get that information, to get that experience from them has been beyond useful, especially as a young person. Aviation, the RAF, the military route is definitely one that I would take. So yeah, just keeping kind of all my doors open into the cockpit, really.
Yeah, before we come to the future later on, looking back a bit, Arjan, when did aviation first become more than just an interest for you personally?
Yeah, it's a great question. Aviation started early. I've always been one of those kids in school where the teacher would ask you, what's your dream job? And it was pilot, since as long as I can remember. But where did that start, really? I think air shows as a really young child. But then that passion kind of came into fruition, and it felt real rather than just a dream when I joined the RAF Air Cadets. The best decision I ever made was joining the cadets. I stayed there for 6 years. I flew the Grob Shooter with the RAF. I flew the Viking Glider with the RAF. Traveled to Florida to train with the US Air Force with the cadets, all in the ages between 12 and 18, which is a super early start to be getting this kind of aviation experience. So that for me really was the turning point where aviation started to feel real rather than just a dream.
Was there maybe a particular moment or a flight that really confirmed for you, hey, this is what I wanted to do for a profession? Man.
Yeah, it's a great question. When you find out you don't get sick when you fly, because that's happened to quite a few of my friends. Yes, it's a good question. For my 12th birthday, I received a trial flight. Or no, 13th birthday, I think it was. I received a trial flight at Stapleford Airfield, if you know, in London. Just a 45-minute trial flight with an instructor. Very basic, of course. But that, for me, was the definite answer that I will be a pilot when I grow up. And since then, I can't stop thinking about it, really. It's quite annoying.
Yeah, and I mean, you also started your PPL training quite recently.
I did.
What has surprised you maybe most about, I mean, rear-world flying is relative, but, you know, to get in a real PPL education, yeah. I mean, it is a structured course, and yeah, yes, it's more than just getting experience.
Yeah, you're completely right. It's, where do I even start? It's a lot more than I thought it would be, if that sounds silly, but I kind of thought it would be easy, and it's absolutely not. The exams, firstly, I mean, where do I start? Those 9 exams are really heavy on the content. So they took me, God, the better part of 6 months to study and pass all 9 of those UK CAA PPL exams. And then the flying. So the UK has just dropped it down to 40 hours as a minimum for your PPL, which is drastically unachievable. I have my skills test next week and I'm about 48 hours, which is I'm still happy about. But gosh, the PPL has taught me so much about flying. I remember I came down to my current airfield, which is Denham Aerodrome, on the first day with my parents and paid my membership fee, and just looking at the hustle and bustle of a flight school, and everyone with their maps out plugging their flights, and you know, Sky Demon iPads, headsets all over the place, I just knew it was the right place for me. But yeah, it's just more intense than I thought it would be. Flying solo, that was the craziest day of my life, I can imagine. So yeah, just to go from having never flown a plane other than a trial lesson to flying 250 nautical miles solo cross countries, yeah, it's an achievement I'm really quite proud of.
Hey, one after the other. I mean, one number that was really for me quite outstanding in your LinkedIn posts. By the way, great LinkedIn profile, and you.
Thank you. I've been trying. I wish I started it earlier.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's super professional.
Thank you very much.
Your first solo came after only 12 hours, Arjan.
I mean,
what do you still remember most clearly from that day? Because this is, I think, it's quite unusual.
Okay, well, I will start by saying it was 12 hours in my logbook, but I had been flying with the RAF for a while before.
Sure, so, but I mean, you know, still.
It's the conservative answer PPL, is to say 12 hours.
PPL lessons, and I said, yeah, okay. Yeah. It answers the question, but not really.
12 hours with my PPL, but I had done about maybe 8 with the RAF cadets in a mixture of powered and gliding. So I understood. I'm also a massive flight simmer. I've been playing flight sim from about Flight Simulator X those days, now playing the newest one. So these kind of experiences aided towards my fast progression at PPL. There's a few people I could use as examples where their first flight at PPL was their first time seeing the instruments of a cockpit, their first time really understanding the fundamentals of aircrafts, you know. So for me, my first flight in PPL wasn't really a challenge. I understood what to look at, I could read instruments, I could understand what the control column would do to the plane. So these kind of basics I already had down, which I think aided towards my fast progression towards solo at PPL.
And you also mentioned just a minute ago your cross countries. How different did that feel compared to earlier flight trainings? I mean, cross country is certainly, it's another mission.
Mm. Oh gosh, I mean, it's a good day, it's a long day, yeah. It's a hard day.
Another animal.
How did it feel? It felt quite adult, honestly. Yeah. To really actually, you're sat on the ground with your instructor, and then you just blink and you're in the sky alone, flying, following your map, following Sky Demon. You know, getting basic services, traffic services from UK LARS, we call them lower airspace radio services. And yeah, it felt quite natural, which is a good thing. When you arrive at your first destination, so we do 2 landings. I don't know what the structure is like in other places, but that's what it is in the UK. I flew from Denham to Coventry, Coventry to Duxford, and Duxford back to Denham. It was just a great day. It went really smoothly. I prepared really well. I knew who I was going to talk to, when I was going to tune into the frequencies. I knew all my joining instructions for the airports. It was really comfortable and just a really good day in general.
And it sounded you were really, really well prepared.
Mm. It's always the key in aviation, I think.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Hopefully. Let me segue back a little bit to the Royal Air Force Air Cadets and now also the Oxford University Air Squadron, Ariane.
Mm-hmm.
Your experience there, how would you say from this day, you know, from the current day, how much did this influence your approach of flying and especially of working in a team, of teamwork?
Yeah, teamwork, leadership, these are really key things that I try to influence my career choices. The RAF start your leadership and teamwork from very early. We do all the adventurous training, we do all of the, it's quite like a camaraderie. You all start and you're wearing the same uniform, you're all at an equal rank when you start, so it kind of helps you gel together when you all know that you're like-minded individuals, you all love aviation, you're all, you know, you all want to have a possible military or flying career. So that helps the teamwork, that helps you gel. But then the leadership really comes from that progression within the military that I do love. You start as a lower ranks, and you can work your way up to, in, for example, in the RAF Air Cadets, you can work your way up to a cadet warrant officer is the highest rank. So that progression helps you as a leader. It allows you to be rewarded for the stuff that you give into the squadron, and you get that back in promotion and then better opportunities. And then also gives you an opportunity to lead the younger cadets, which is pretty invaluable at a really young age to have somewhere you can go and try to lead and have a group underneath you. So the military for me is always kind of second nature. I've really enjoyed the discipline, always helped me. I liked wearing the uniform. I loved the progression aspect. And the free flying was always nice as well, right?
for people like me outside the United Kingdom, no clue of RAF hierarchy. You're 80 years old, old now. Mm. How high are you already? In the middle or?
Yeah, I mean, not, well, currently, so the UAS, the University Air Squadron, is a voluntary reserve service.
Okay.
So there's different there's different levels even within that. So you can be a regular, which is a full-time serving RAF member. Then you have the reserves, who they do a certain amount of hours a year towards the RAF, but mostly have other jobs, other 9-to-5s, which they do with most of their time. And they're remunerated, they're paid for their work. And then you have us, which are voluntary reserves to the RAF. So we have to give a certain amount of hours towards the RAF, and then we're not paid directly by the RAF, so we're voluntary reserves. But when it comes to hierarchy and rank at the moment, it's once again a little bit difficult with the UAS. But we are officers. We are. We do dine in the officers' mess, and we are treated as officers on base. Our official rank is officer cadet. So, as a 20-year-old, it's a great rank to be at. You've instantly kind of jumped to the top end of the hierarchy as per se. Yes, so it's nice to be treated as an officer. You're surrounded by already pilots, logistics officers, air traffic officers at dinner. Like I said earlier in the call, we're based at RAF Benson, which is the home of the Chinook for the Royal Air Force. We used to have the Puma, but that just went out of service for the RAF. So you go down to dinner, and you're surrounded by Chinook pilots, ex Puma pilots, all talking about their ex stories in Afghanistan and other sorties which they've done throughout their career, and it just is incredible. And it is an opportunity which you do not get in any other military career at the age of 20. I mean, it's second to none.
Wow, I think great promotion.
Yeah,
deserved promotion.
It's not a sales pitch. I swear,
for the Royal Air Force. But yeah, maybe from promoting the military also to the civilian side, because you are studying aviation management alongside the flying side. How valuable is it for you to understand the industry beyond just the cockpit, Arjan?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. So I'm not only will I advocate the military world, I also have a dying love for the civil world. The airport management is such a crazy beast to me. Watching these, I don't know if you've seen the Busiest Airport in Europe documentary by Channel 4. I remember watching that on the sofa, and the logistics behind airports like Heathrow for me is incredible. So aviation management for me was a pretty obvious choice to study. It would allow me to have some passion behind my studies, which I always think helps in a grades. And then also my degree allows me to train alongside. They give me, out of the 3 years of my degree, my second year, there is no studies towards the degree because we have to complete our ATPL training. So they give us the second year of our degree completely off uni just to focus on those ATPLs. But yeah, studying airport management and airline management, it's just fun. It's exactly what I've always wanted to do as a backup, almost, if I could say that. You know, we all know that becoming a pilot requires a good level of medical. You have to be fit, you have to be healthy. So having a degree is always a good backup. There's no guarantees that I'll have a very long career as a pilot. Anything could happen, right? So having a degree always helps me stay in that industry if I couldn't be a pilot, staying in the aviation world, whatever job that may be. So yeah.
So it's your invaluable plan B maybe in the future.
Yes, yes.
I mean, hopefully you'll be in the cockpit, but as you said, it might be a plan B you would also enjoy as a career.
Exactly. Working for an airline, working for an airport would be a great job.
But yeah, but we are, and yeah, let's get into the main focus here, the cockpit. In October 2026, you'll begin UK CAA ATPL training with Leading Edge Aviation. What are you most looking forward to in that next, certainly decisive phase?
Yeah, great question. What am I most looking forward to? Getting a deeper understanding of planes. Right now, my understanding is PPL level, very elementary. But to learn how, you know, turbine engines work, jet airplane fly, multi-engine aircraft, getting really detailed on flight operations and cockpit management, human factors, just understanding these subjects on a really deep and very professional level is what I'm excited for. What I'm not excited for is the amount of studying that that does come with, to be honest.
Yeah, that's, I think, inevitable when it comes to it.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited to start.
Looking from yourself, maybe also, or from your perspective, at this stage of your journey, what do you think is the biggest challenge for young aspiring pilots like you today? You know, from you to the others a little bit, so to say.
It's got to be the main one. The cost to become a pilot is very high. There's a lot of great schemes in the UK. BA Speedbird program, which just closed, I think, couple weeks ago. That's a great scheme for young people to get jobs as pilots in BA without any money. A BA cover all the cost for your commercial pilot training. That's an incredible opportunity. There's things like the Air League in the UK we have, who do scholarships for PPL, ATPL, your instructor rating. That they have some incredible opportunities there. But the biggest barrier to entry for pilots now as young people is the cost. You know, it's a notoriously expensive career to get into.
Personally get in the advantage of a scholarship?
No, I'm not underneath any scholarship, which is why I always keep my avenues open for free aviation experiences like the RAF, which has been a massive help.
Yeah. And I mean, so to say, right into the hopefully paid cockpit job. When you look a few years ahead, hopefully better sooner than later, what kind of flying or career path currently attracts you most, Arjan? Airlines?
Yes,
or military, as we said in the beginning.
Yes, the airlines is the number one, I would say. But it is, for me, the dream is to be paid to fly, whether that be, you know, a tour guide pilot in Alaska, flying seaplanes in the Maldives, flying a military aircraft, or flying an airliner. These are all just dream jobs. But if I had to put, the icing on the cake, it'd be an airline job. There is something about walking through an airport terminal as a passenger and just seeing the captain and his co-pilot walk past you, and that is just a dream, to do that walk, and I'll be a happy man once I do it.
Already some favorites, or would you maybe also move internationally, or what are your inspiration? Because the UK is certainly limited.
Yes, this is a big problem at the moment. Dream airline, Emirates, Etihad, BA, who else? Singapore would be great. But for a young, for the start of my career, there's a very common trend in UK CAA pilots is you do start at a low cost flyer, so your Ryanair, your EasyJets, and then build your hours and then hopefully get pulled into one of the big high end luxury airlines. But for me, that doesn't really seem massively appealing to fly for a low cost carrier, just because of the work schedule. I think that some of these low cost carriers have isn't very desirable. I think they kind of wangle the fun out of being a pilot a little bit by kind of pushing the pilots for the maximum they can get. Whereas the luxury high cost, high end airlines give you a little bit more relaxation around your working schedule as a pilot. Especially once you move to that long haul, I think it's a lot more desirable. So for a short for a young pilot, for like a low hour, just finished your commercial pilot training, I really would look for jobs like Transmaldivian, Belize Air, anywhere flying like a multi-engine aircraft, but on a short, tropical, maybe quite difficult and intense location. I would really enjoy a little bit more than flying a low cost.
I mean, when I think back what you said in the middle of the interview, I could also see in you a great flight instructor for a while. What do you think?
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
you got the quality as a personality. I mean, I think without knowing you, but you are so much into teams and, you know, working with others.
Yeah, I honestly never thought about it. I've kind of always had this career path in my mind, but yeah, I mean, I definitely would be open to it. I love teaching people. You know, we have PPL like ground school sessions with my students currently, and my colleagues and peers at university, and we get together and we all group study the PPL theory. So I really like instructing and teaching them that way as well, and especially through the RAF, I've had lots of experience teaching. So yeah, maybe I would. I might look into it.
I mean, as I said, maybe as a time building and also quality time building experience before one of your dream airline jobs opens the doors.
Definitely. Yeah, I'd love to do that. There's quite a lot of opportunity for flying instructors in the UK at the moment as well.
Sure. And I mean, yeah, one of the last questions here, or the last question, so to say, already. If somebody younger is listening right now and dreaming about aviation like you back then, what would you honestly tell them from your own experience so far, Arjan?
Yeah, great question. And if anyone is listening who's dreaming of aviation, the door is open. Aviation is yours for the taking. It's an industry which is only getting bigger. It's only getting more exciting. The planes are getting cooler. The planes are flying for longer. We can go anywhere. The door is wide open for young people in aviation. So my advice to you is take every opportunity that there is. It's a ethos that I live by, is never turn an opportunity down. You'll always get something valuable, and if you don't, you had a good time, right? Especially in the UK, for example, there is so many opportunities for scholarships, free flying opportunities, loads of mentors waiting for people to ask them questions. LinkedIn has been a great help for me, especially, like, I mean, this is a great example of something that LinkedIn provides, and the calls that you'll have with captains, the calls you have with recruiters at airlines, all of these free opportunities that you can get from networking and just putting yourself out there are invaluable. So yeah, don't let the harsh numbers of becoming a pilot be the thing that deter you from your dream job, because it is doable and it is manageable.
I love this interview. We are just an audio podcast, but if there had been a camera here, you would see a smile from one side or from one ear to the other. Yeah, it's really, yeah. And also, by the way,
thank you, Jürgen.
I think LinkedIn is really for the aviation community, maybe also a little bit a takeaway from my side. It is worth opening a profile and starting 100%. Being active there. Yeah, it's from early on. It is worth the work.
Definitely, 100%. It is so worth the work. It's also not a lot of work. A lot of people say like it's so much work. It's you know, just do something cool and just put it on there, right? But there is a bit of a social stigma around LinkedIn. I don't know if it's like that in Austria, but people don't want to start it. It seems like sometimes a bit of a like a self-promotion kind of thing, but it really isn't. Everyone is super happy to share their own experiences and learn from each other. It really is a building off one another platform, which is something that I've massively learned as soon as I opened that profile. So yeah, LinkedIn is amazing.
And it brought us together. I mean, I see it more as a really an adult network. I mean, people are there with their real names, are networking with their also taking really care of what they post. So I see it really in a really positive way, and especially the aviation community. I wasn't that active at LinkedIn before I started this podcast, but now I really see the value. Also, I mean, this podcast is a proof of the value. LinkedIn enabled us to connect.
I know, and thank you so much for having me on the podcast as well.
Yeah, and I mean, finally, Arjan, thank you for joining Aviation Quest to see today.
Anytime.
And I thought a little gesture from my side, I'll send you a voucher for a free coaching session whenever you feel the timing is right.
Amazing.
So whether that's before an exam, an assessment, or during a demanding phase of your training. I mean, it's completely open-ended and without any obligation. And yeah, it would be great to... don't know, to be of help.
I was going to ask that at the end of the podcast, is I would love some coaching from you.
Yeah, absolutely. We will make this happen. And as I said, I will send you a free coaching voucher for a mental coaching.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jürgen.
Thank you for joining. And yeah, maybe talk to you in the future as already.
Definitely.
Hopefully.
Stay in touch.
In ATPL shape, so to say.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for all the kind words as well.
Okay, and that brings us to the end of the interview. I really enjoyed listening to that again. How about you, Jürgen?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was really an amazing afternoon. Arya made my day. And I just say, off the line with Arjan, thank you once again, Arjan, for joining us on Aviation Quest C and for sharing your journey with our listeners. And I wish you all the very best for your upcoming ATPL training. Stefan also already mentioned in the intro. And everything that lies ahead, I believe in this man. Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I, to be honest, after listening to it, I thought this is the kind of young guy I would like to have in the cockpit with me. So if you're listening, Arjan, you do know I fly for this certain German airline with the blue tails. Believe
apply,
it or not,
we have Arjan.
Exactly. We do have bases. There's a handful of bases where you do not have to speak German. It's not a requirement, only English. And we do have English people flying here in my company. And so it is possible if you pass the assessment, which is usually in Hamburg, then, you know, you'll be part of a very cool airline group. And I think they would be very lucky to have you. So, yeah, that's my that's my advertising for my own company.
I hope they give you a nice roster next month. Could be a
I doubt it, but anyway, it's always worth a try, right?
Negotiation, podcast negotiations.
Exactly.
And I think, Stefan, if people like Arjan want to have want to address questions to you, one of the easiest ways maybe is the Discord server, isn't it? That's also, besides the LinkedIn profile we mentioned also during the interview, at the end of our teasers. So if you scroll to the end of the teasers, there's a direct link to the Discord server. There's also a podcast section. But I think this is also an easy way to get in touch with you, Stefan. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's the easiest way by far. So on the YouTube video, if you're watching the YouTube video right now, in the description, you will find the link to the Discord server. And it's a very, very nice server. It's a small community. I think we are still below 100 people right now, but they're all really nice. They're pilots and non-pilots and flight sim enthusiasts. And usually it's a lot of fun to hang out. And we share pictures and screenshots. And of course, we have discussions. We, as you can probably imagine, some people have already asked, how do I get into the industry? How do I prepare for an interview with an airline? So, you know, this is an easy way to talk to us, not just me, also Jürgen. And just have a nice community to help you out with your questions.
I mean, speaking of interview preparation of me, for listeners who may be interested in my work in mental performance coaching for aviation professionals and aspiring pilots, I mean, additional information can be found, I think, complete way on my LinkedIn profile. I think it's, I mean, complete is exaggerated, but I think everything essential is there. And an initial conversation to discuss goals, expectations, and whether I may be able to help is always free of charge and completely without obligation. So we can set up a Zoom call, or I can call you, or whatever. No costs, no obligation. I just want to be there. And the easiest way, I mean, I started since this, don't know, since this whole thing, Aviation Quest to See, took off, pun intended, checking my message on LinkedIn usually twice a day, because there is an ongoing stream of guests and questions. And like on the Discord server, such a nice community, no nastiness, no, it's really just nice comments and questions and professional communication, as I just also mentioned by the end of the interview with Ariane.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I mentioned the interviews, because I think so I'm obviously the one who can talk a bit about what to expect in terms of, you know, technical questions, maybe simulator checks. But when it comes to mental performance, which is just as important, Jürgen is the man, because he has way more experience in any of that than I have. And so if you want the full package, you can speak to both of us, I suppose. And then hopefully that should help you as best as it possibly can.
This is really a little bit of an unplanned coincidence, but this is Thursday afternoon. It's 2:15 p.m. and it's June the 4th. And I read this out because in 45 minutes, I will post a freebie of my mental coaching syllabus for aviation professionals. So an ongoing, so to say, an internal manual for my coaching work. I'm usually working on it every day. And a little bit of LinkedIn version is there every Thursday afternoon. And coincidentally, today's topic, so if you don't know, you have to click back maybe now you hear this interview back into the June postings. But on this given day, you will find a posting about the interview preparation.
Very good, very good. Excellent, excellent. All right, well, I think we can wrap this up, Jürgen. We still need to do, you know, the thing we're really bad at, which is all the social media things.
Smashing buttons and thumbs up and like us and subscribe and stuff. Yeah, we are super bad in this.
We are really bad.
You are better. You should be better, because you run even two YouTube channels, our own and FX Clips. So you can make a double. You can make a rundown here of all the buttons, the double buttons, FS Clips and Aviation Quest, and then it's enough buttons.
Exactly. You know, the usual social media stuff: subscribe, like, comment, all that stuff. But we know we don't make light of this. If you are listening, if you're a regular listener, then of course we're super happy to have you, and we're always happy to hear from you. If you do have any feedback, then please contact us. We're always happy to speak to someone from the community. Okay, that's it from my side. Did I forget anything, Jürgen? Anything left?
Yeah, I don't think so. As I said, enough button smashing on other channels going on. And I thank you, dear listeners, for listening. And we look forward to welcoming you back to the next episode of Aviation Quest to See Stories from Above, next Sunday, 2 p.m. Central European Time.
Exactly. Also from my side, thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing and hearing you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.